Almost 22 past the hour. My guest today talks about the fact that he thinks car helmets should be made mandatory for kids because of the amount of brain injuries that happen in traumatic accidents, car accidents across the U.S. So we're going to talk a little bit about this. We're talking with the legal expert, Howard Spiva. Good morning, Howard.
Hi, good morning. Glad to be with you.
Glad to be with you as well. Howard, let's talk a little bit about this. You're talking about the car helmets. You're saying we should now make it legal or make it mandatory that kids should be able or should, just like they do with bicycles, they have to wear a helmet, but they should be wearing a helmet in the car.
Yes, I strongly believe that. First of all, for your listeners, I'm Howard Spiva. I'm an attorney, and I've been a trial lawyer doing serious injuries for over 30 years. The only reason that's important to your listeners is the fact that, you know, I've seen the worst of the worst of how a traumatic brain injury to a child can just literally destroy the lives of a family and just forever alter the entire family. I've seen this hundreds, maybe even thousands of times. And you know, first you have to look at this. Every basic dangerous activity that a child participates in, skateboards, bicycles, baseball, football, karate sparring, motorcycles, they wear helmets. I mean, in today's world, you know, tough bull riders will wear helmets. And it only makes sense that a child would be safer wearing a helmet in a car. You know, two facts highlight this. One, the Center for Disease Control says that the number one cause of traumatic brain injuries in children under five is in car wrecks while in child safety seats. And the second thing is that both the Center for Disease Control and the Pediatric Association show that when helmets were mandated for bicycles, that traumatic brain injuries went down 75% and fatalities went down by 85%. So think of that. 85% of deaths became preventable when kids started wearing helmets on bicycles. I mean, the next logical conclusion is they should wear them in cars. I mean, race car drivers wear them.
Yeah, okay, I can, now you got to excuse me for being just a tad adversarial here, but I have to be because, you know, at the same time, you're advocating for this, and you got the numbers, I don't disagree with you in that part, but here's the deal. In Pennsylvania, you don't have to wear a helmet to ride a motorcycle. They took away that law. You don't have to, you can just go out and ride a motorcycle. Yet, if you have an accident on a motorcycle, what's going to get hit? Your head. But yet, we don't do that. So, I mean, I guess I understand. I mean, at least you have some protection in a vehicle compared to a motorcycle. So I guess if you're advocating for this, you know, what's the deal with motorcycles? Why shouldn't we be wearing them for motorcycles?
Well, first of all, you know, of course, I strongly believe because I've been doing this for 30 years and I've seen the results of even a mild closed head injury. I think people on motorcycles should be wearing them, but understand that's an adult making a decision about their life. What I'm talking about is the number one cause of brain injuries in children under five, and a child's brain hasn't even developed. I don't think that the decision should be made for them. Now, I don't really advocate that it's mandatory. What we do is through festivals and community involvement, and we buy and give away helmets by the tens of thousands and by putting stickers on them and having police officers on motorcycles and police officers on horses and military guys in tanks and firefighters. We let kids see that helmets are cool. And, I mean, kids come to our festival and they want to wear helmets. I mean, my parents tell me from the kids that the kids don't even want to take them off in a shower. And that's what I'm looking for because the numbers prove it. You know, what I saw, what got me into this is back in the 90s, we gathered up all the pictures of the children clients. We had pictures of clients on our wall, and we put them together. We ended up with 30 or 40 pictures of children that we'd represented with brain injuries, and me and my sister and my wife looked at them, and we said, you know what? Every single one of these were preventable. And a common one is a car's rear-ended. Nobody in the car's even hurt. The back of the parent's seat collapses, and the headrest or the back of the parent's head caves in the child's forehead. And, I mean, can you imagine the guilt of that for a parent? And all they need is just a little plastic helmet. You're putting them in the car, and you go, hey, you want to be a karate girl or a race car driver? And then the kid wants to wear the helmet. So, you know, I understand the comparison between the motorcycles. I also understand the resistance of getting any more dang government involved in our life. I'm just saying that if a kid wears a helmet playing baseball and a kid wears a helmet playing football and a kid wears a helmet skateboarding, why shouldn't the natural follow-up be that a child, especially a child under five, wear one in a child safety seat? And if to promote it, you know, we set up all of, we set up in different states, and we give away helmets by the tens of thousands in order to promote this.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to be against what you're saying, because I understand it. I got you. You know, I mean, and these are definite issues. But I guess it, you know, it comes down to the point to where, you know, you're made to do this, you're made to do that, and I think the right reason is because, you know, you are going to the next level to protect the child. But some parents, we kind of talked about this yesterday a little wee bit, not this particular subject, but, you know, the fact of is, where's the line of demarcation? Where is the responsibility of a parent? You know, and we talked about yesterday when the child comes in, he's in second grade and he's addicted to nicotine. And,
right.
You know, and they're wanting special treatment because he's addicted to nicotine at you know, what, 8 years old, seven? And I guess I'm just asking, you know, at what point is the parent responsible? And you're saying, as a lawyer, you know, where you have went up against so many of these where there's been issues. So do you sue the parent? I mean, how does that work?
You know, really, a parent being legally liable, I don't think, even if a helmet were mandated in a car, I don't think that in most states that it would rise to that level. Now, you know, let me say this. I have sued relatives if, say, you know, a child's in a car and they were under the under narcotics, or they were texting, or they didn't have the child in the child safety seat. Then at that point, I become the child's lawyer, and, yeah, we get a conservator appointed, and we go after the relative so that we can collect the insurance to get the medical needs that the child needs taken care of, and the training if they have a brain injury. But to say that a parent would be liable because they didn't put a helmet on a child, I don't think most cases would rise to that. If it were mandated, you know, a police officer could cite someone, just like they could cite them if they weren't in a child safety seat, or they could cite them if they were texting and driving, or cite them if, you know, they were endangering the child's life by leaving them in a hot car.
Okay,
I really don't think that mandating it is the best way to go, and I don't think that civil suits against the parents. I think that we educate the parents and we motivate the kids. But I'm with you, man. I don't want any more government in my life. But if we're going to sit here and protect kids when they're skateboarding, and the number one cause of brain injury is not skateboarding, it's not bicycles, it's car wrecks. And, you know, we put a plastic helmet on their head and 85% of brain injuries are eliminated. And you know, a study by the Pediatrician Association backs these numbers up.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm certainly not against protecting the kids. I kids have a soft spot in my heart, let me tell you. But it's just, at the same time, you know, it's like you go out and even, I don't know, maybe I've got the wrong person talking about this particular issue. Anyway, give me just a second, because right now it's 1:30. That means it's time. My friend today is a legal expert. He's an attorney. He's had many, many cases. And he's been talking about traumatic brain injuries. And out of all the kids that have traumatic brain injuries, most of them occur whenever there's an accident in a vehicle. And so he's saying, maybe we should just consider the fact that we need to have the kids wear a helmet while they're riding in the car. We have them, you know, have helmets on for other things. And so, you know, that's what he's posturing today. So let's talk a little bit more. My friend, Howard Spivak. Good morning again, Howard.
Hi.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about this. You have a new book out called Winning Your Case. And what? Tell me the premise of this book.
The book actually has two parts. One part of it goes into the charity, explains the background of it and the mission of it and how we're on a mission to eliminate brain injuries in children. The first part of the book that covers Winning Your Case I've been practicing for over 30 years, and I litigate cases, and I frequently see people that have not gotten to the right attorney, whether it's, you know, the attorney doesn't have the experience, they don't have the resources, and I've seen them really end up not getting full justice because they didn't have the right person on their team. And so I wrote this book to help people know what questions to ask, because they look in the phone book, they look on the internet, they look on TV, they listen on the radio, and they hear actors saying how great a lawyer is, and they really don't know anything about them. So I gave them 21 questions to ask lawyers, and then in the book I answer those 21 questions for myself, and then I give them 22 backup questions in case they still haven't decided. And again, I answer those questions. And it's not self-serving to get people to come hire me as a personal injury lawyer, even though I don't object to that. But it, the purpose is, you know, in I call law life because, you know, if you get a parking ticket, if you get a speeding ticket, if you have a dispute with your neighbor, if you open a business, if you have a partnership dispute, if you go through a divorce, if you have to file bankruptcy, there's many times in your life that you need a lawyer and you don't know who to ask. And so these questions will help explain how lawyers are rated, how you can find out information on them, what kind of background they have. And so anyway, I wrote this book to help folks. It's, you know, the book sells on Amazon. It's on 4 bestseller lists. It's only like $19. All the money goes to charity to buy helmets for kids. Somebody can get an ebook for like $2. Or if they, if they're a listener on your show and they call my office, or they're in this area and they stop by, either way, we'll be happy to send a free copy to anyone. The purpose of the book is to help people and to explain how to legally protect yourself and how to prevent traumatic brain injuries in children. You know, let me share this with you. I was doing an interview last week, and the host shared with me, he got really quiet while we were having this conversation, and he said, "Howard, when I was a kid, I got a brain injury in a car," and he started telling me, it was very painful for him, he started telling me how it had changed his life and, you know, how significantly he had changed his life. Now, he's a successful radio host and comfortable with his life, but he lost out on so much because of it, and he came to the conclusion, my goodness, if this had been around and I'd had on this plastic helmet, you know, I would have been able to finish school. I would have been able to, you know, pursue things. So I really think it's an important message. And, you know, a lot of people kind of raise their eyebrows at me because they go, "You're a personal injury, catastrophic injury lawyer that handles traumatic brain injuries and you're trying to prevent them." I mean, I think that knowing what I know and seeing what I've seen, I'm on a mission to hopefully never have another traumatic brain injury case for a child. And it's a real simple solution. And we make it easy for the parents. We go to community events, we go to churches, we go to schools, we go to health events, we're in a couple of parades. We have law firms out in Texas that have joined us. We're getting law firms to join us all across the country. And we give helmets away to children for free, and we replace them for life. So it's kind of my way of giving back.
Well, I like it, you know, and I do appreciate the philanthropic nature of what you're trying to do. You know, March is the Brain Injury Awareness Month. And so, of course, that's why we have you on, because we want to talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people, they don't think about their brain. I mean, they don't think about their body. I mean, how absolutely fragile we really are. I mean, we try to pretend that we're macho men or strong women or whatever, but the truth is, it just takes some little thing, and I'm not saying an accident's little, but I mean, it takes a bump, and you're out of commission. And so it's important, I believe, this month to talk about brain injuries and the things that we can do to avoid them. And you were talking about this. You said, you know, the helmets protect from this traumatic brain injury. And now, how can just the plastic, I mean, did they have something on the inside that's buffering that? Or, I mean, you're not talking about just putting on a piece of plastic, right?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I said, are you talking about putting on, are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. Are you talking about putting on a piece of plastic, or does it have some kind of protective inside to that that stops it?
Well, actually, I was being a little facetious by just saying, you know, a little plastic helmet. These helmets are, you know, if you go to a bike shop and buy a bicycle, you know, these helmets are $49, $50. You can go to, you know, Walmart or Sears or somewhere like that and get pretty much the same helmet with the same safety ratings for about $19.95. We buy them in such large bulk that we get the helmets for an average of about $5 a piece plus shipping. So, you know, we just buy them by the tens of thousands, and they're high quality, you know, safety rated helmets. They're just like any helmet that you would get for a bicycle. They have the primary substance in them is a type of a styrofoam that cushions, because, you know, just like, think of it this way. If you're in a car and the car's tires are cemented down and I ram into the back of your car, the car's going to crush, but if I don't reach you, you're not even going to move. So the crush is absorbed by the car. If I take that same car and park it on wet pavement and rear end you, the car's not really going to get hurt. It's just going to get knocked forward, and you're going to absorb that coup contra coup, that whiplash. You're going to absorb the power and the weight of that car, and you're going to be injured, and the crush in the car is not going to be that bad. So crush has to go somewhere. So when you have these plastic-coated styrofoam insert helmets, like on a bicycle, then it gets the crush and not your head. And so the substance is important, but it doesn't have to be, you know, a tank helmet.
Okay, so it's just your typical bicycle. So if somebody wanted to, if someone's listening today and says, you know what, I agree with that guy, we really should protect little Johnny back there, because after all, you know, he's right there. And of course, they think, or they felt, that the child safety seat would do some of that, but you're saying it doesn't. It doesn't protect well enough a child safety seat around that, around the head of that child. Is that correct?
That's correct. The child safety seat is wonderful, and it keeps the child generally from being ejected from the car in the case of a wreck. But if you have a T-bone where somebody goes through an intersection, hits you in the side, oftentimes the child's head will sling over and hit the window or the frame of the car. If they're rear-ended, the back of the seat can break. The headrest or the back of the parent's head can hit the child's head. Or it's just like any time. You know, a lot of people make fun of whiplashes, but the whiplash motion, the terminology that I use, coup contra coup, is, you know, you get hit and your head goes one way. Well, your brain is like a jello substance floating in your skull, and your head, your brain's going to go the opposite direction. So your head goes forward, the brain slams into the back of your head, and then the reaction is then your head goes back, and then the brain goes forward and slams into the front of the skull. So you get this bruising, this microscopic shearing or tearing, and then the inside of a skull along the bottom has bony ridges. So with the brain being knocked around like that, you can get these microscopic shearing that really only shows up on a autopsy. So if you get someone with a mild closed head injury, and, you know, I use mild, it's not like, you know, you've got mild, moderate, and severe. Severe is you're laying in a bed, you know, staring at a ceiling. Moderate is you can't really function a lot in daily life and you have a lot of deficits. Mild is still, you know, a lot of symptoms. A kid, you know, can't use their executive functions. They have deficits. And a lot of it you wouldn't know unless you knew the child beforehand. And then you'll start seeing up until they get to around 7th, 8th, 9th grade, when they start needing those executive functions, you won't really know it without getting the proper test done.
I got to ask you this question, and I'm running a little bit over time, but I since you're on and we're talking about the brain injuries and that type of thing, of course, we just heard about the last 2 years where they really started talking about football and the concussions and the effects in high school. And, of course, some people came out and they were asking the question, should we even have high school football with the amount of concussions that, that can occur and do occur many times that are life-altering for these students? So what do you think about, just since we're on the subject, I know it's not your particular subject, but what do you think about that?
Well, I was a boxer, and I'm a martial artist in 5 different styles, so I'm pretty familiar with sports injuries. And the injuries from football and the injuries from boxing and the injuries from those type of things, those are usually caused by the repeat concussions that occur, and it's cumulative. If you punch me in the head, it might cause me some brain bruising, might cause me a little bit of concussion or whatever. Well, the next time you hit me in the head, I'm more susceptible to injury, and it keeps adding and adding. It's kind of like stress, you know. You get stressed or depressed, the next time you get more stressed or depressed. And so that's the problem with, and you just have to weigh that. And that's the, you know, a lot of people feel very strongly on both those issues. Fortunately, they are making some great advances in helmets for sports to where they're minimizing that. But it's just like a boxer, you know. You meet a lot of boxers and they end up punch drunk. And it's not because they got punched in the head one time. It's because they got repeated injuries. And I think that's the real problem that you see with the injuries with helmets. And a lot of those injuries, when I say helmets, football helmets, a lot of those injuries aren't from the direct contact. They're from the whiplash-type motion that's causing the brain to slosh around inside the skull from, you know, being taken out from behind or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so it's almost like the same as the whiplash in the car then.
Exactly. Yeah. And but I'm, you know, what I'm saying is, if people want to ride their motorcycles without it, if teenagers want to play football, you know, I'm not trying to interfere with any of that. I'm not trying to get the law to require kids to wear helmets. But, you know, they wear them in all these other things. I just think it would be good to educate the parents and then make it cool and fun for the kids. And if we have kids wearing them in car safety seats, we're going to greatly reduce the amount of traumatic brain injuries and even deaths. By the way, I was just looking at the website. It looks like you and I graduated high school the same year.
Well, my sympathies then, if you're that old. well, let me just say this. You said we can get it on Amazon. Where else can we get your new book, Winning the Case?
Absolutely. There's two other places. One, you can visit my website. It's Spiva, S-P-I-V-A, law.com. You can go on there. It links not only to the charity, but it links to where you can order a book. Or someone can just call my office at 912-920-2000 and give us your name if you want it autographed. Tell my concierge at the front desk, and I'll be glad to autograph it for you. And also, if you know someone, if you have a law firm in your city and you would like to see this happen in your city, tell them to call me, and I'll help them. I'll show them how to set up. I actually wrote a book for lawyers on how to establish and set up a charity. I mean, we're a real charity. We have a board, and we have hundreds of volunteers, and we get all kinds of community awards around the city, the state, even across the country. We get, you know, a lot of recognition for a lot of the community involvement.
Legal expert Howard Spiva today. Thank you, Howard, for being my friend. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. You ever need anything, give me a call, buddy.
Well, you know, send me a book one time and say the best talk show host in the country, and I'll have it put right up on my wall.
I'll have that taken care of.
Okay, Howard, take care.
Bye-bye. Make it a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, 10 before the hour as we continue with David and Friends. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that you learned something. If you're a grandparent out there, maybe, you know, you're trying to think of something you want to do for that kid, a grandkid, go out today and get them a helmet. Say to mom, dad, hey, put this on them.